Why don't we give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house? Why don't we magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in this place here this morning? How many feels Jesus in here? How many feels an anointing power of the Holy Ghost in here? How many is excited that you know that Jesus is alive and well? Your God's not a dead God. He's not a dried up God, but he is alive and well. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I feel an anointing power of God in this place. I believe that anything in this house is possible today if you just only believe. I know sometimes that when we come to church, we say, well, it's just a bunch of hype. Sometimes folk come to church and say, my God, we're just going through the motions. But I've learned something. If you'll just worship him, if you'll just praise him, if you'll just magnify him the way that you know to, God will always show up. If you, when you don't feel like praising him, if you praise him, he'll show up. When you don't feel like running, if you'll run, he'll show up. When you don't feel like clapping, if you'll clap, he'll show up. So you know what? Here's what every once in a while you just got to do. You got to just say, God, I'm not here just because. But I came here to get my miracle. I came here to get my deliverance. I came here, God, because I need something miraculous from you. Now, if you'll be honest with yourself today, everybody in this house needs a miracle. If you'll be honest with yourself today, everybody in this house needs deliverance. If you'll be honest with yourself here today, every person in this building needs something miraculous from God. So what we got to do is get it in our mind that God is about to open the floodgate of heaven. We got to get it in our mind that God is about to bless everything in this house. I want us to do something, though. I know the bishop's on vacation, and I hope he's having a blast. But I want us to pray a covering on the pastor and his wife, that while they're having a great time, that the hand of the Lord just stays upon them and the hand of protection stays upon them. Y'all want to do that for the bishop? Let's pray for him right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. God, I'm asking you to keep your hand upon Bishop, Lord. I'm asking you, God, to keep your hand upon Sister Sutton right now, God. Let the angels of protection, God, encamp about them right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, put your hand upon their lives right now, God. Keep your hand of protection upon them right now. Every place that they go, God, let angels, God, encamp about them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house right now? Why don't we just give him a little high praise here? I know you've been worshiping. I know you've been magnifying. I know you've been praising him a lot, but I'm just asking. Because I know God is about to do something great in here. Well, thanks for letting me come back. I'm excited about being here. I told my wife, I flew in on Thursday. I only got this, well, Thursday evening. And Friday, she said, you're looking antsy. I said, I'm going to just be honest with you, babe. I said, I can't wait to get down there to Birmingham. I said, that's the most craziest people I ever been around with. I said, I love going there. I said, they love worshiping and they love Jesus. And I said, I just can't wait to get there. She said, well, you're not enjoying being here? I said, oh, I'm enjoying being home. I said, but I just can't wait to get to Birmingham. I promised her I'm going to bring her next time. So, my, she wants to come see how crazy y'all really are. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God we crazy. You know, I wouldn't go to a church where I couldn't have no fun. I wouldn't go to a church where I couldn't express myself. I wouldn't go to a church where if I get ready to scream a little bit, I can scream. If I get ready to shout a little bit, I can shout. If I want to roll a little bit, I can roll. If I want to high-five somebody, I can high-five somebody. If I want to get all buck wall and just, my God, run the back of the pew, I can run the back of the pew. I wouldn't go to a church where I got to sit there and let somebody dictate to me how we going to have church. I'm glad Jesus is alive and well. My. Boy, I've been feeling this all morning long. I just can't wait to get in the Word. My God. The elder said, preach the Word. Another guy come by to me and said, you got the Word for this morning? I said, under my breath, I said, I wouldn't be here if I didn't have the Word. I just shut the book and go on home. But I got a Word this morning. I got a Word this morning. Ain't no excuse in this house why you can't get what you need from Jesus. Mama. St. John 5:1, and we're going to roll down to about 7. St. John 5:1. Boy, didn't the praise team do awesome just now? My God, and the musicians. I remember last time I was here, my sister that leads worship, she was sick. I told Brother Sutton, I said, man, we got to touch the throne room of God. I said, we can't be having church without her. Not that ain't nobody else doing a great job, but I just like to watch her because it don't matter. It don't matter what it looks like. She come to have church. She's a promoter of worship. Boy, I'm going to tell you right now. St. John 5:1. Everybody there? All right, now listen. I ain't going to preach no long time. I'm going to preach a little bit, and I'm going to get out the way, and we're going to let Jesus do what he does best, and that's touch lives. If you're a guest here today and you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, congratulations. Today is your day. If you need a miracle or you need deliverance in here, I'm telling you, it's going to happen in this house today. So I want you to get ready. Get rid of stinking thinking. Get a checkup from the neck up and say, I'm coming to get my miracle. I'm coming to get my deliverance. I'm coming to get what you have for me. Now, let's be honest. Who in this house don't need anything from God? Thank you. So today, God's here for the asking. All we got to do is just get ready to receive it, and it's going to happen. 5:1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the Sheep's Market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And these laid a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, withered, waiting on the moving of the water. For an angel of the Lord went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man had been laying there 38 years. Jesus saw him lying. He knew that he had now been there in that time for a while. And he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the man answered and said, sir, I have no man to put me in the water when it is troubled. But while it is troubled, another one comes and steps down before me. Now, I can't figure it out. I don't know where he was coming from because I wasn't in that position. But when the question was asked, wilt thou be made whole? The answer should have been yes. But instead, the man said, I have no one to put me in the water when it's troubled. Somebody else always steps in front of me and gets their miracle. So for a few minutes, if you'll let me, I want to preach no excuses, please. Look at your neighbor and say, there's no excuse why you can't get your miracle. Look at somebody else and say, there's no excuse why you can't get what you want from God. Why don't we give him a hand clap of praise right now? There's no excuse. There's no excuse in this house. Devil, I serve notice on you. You are a liar and a deceiver. You're the father of lies, and the truth isn't in you. I told you this morning you're about to have a bad day, and I'm going to tell you again. You have no power. You have no dominion. I loose you from this house, and I bind you in the pits of hell. And God, let your Shekinah glory rest in this house right now. You can sit down if you want. There's been times in our life when the water has been troubled. There's been times in our life when we've missed our opportunity for our miracle or our blessing. The enemy knows that if we ever get in the presence of God, that we are going to be able to get what we need from God. Here we have Jesus touching a man on the Sabbath. Even though it wasn't allowed in those days, Jesus didn't care. He said, I see a need and I am going to run to that need. It didn't matter who it was or what it was. When they called upon the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus was always there and ready to help. And I'm telling somebody in this house this morning that God is not going to turn a deaf ear. God is not just going to set back and let the enemy try to defeat you. God is not just going to set back and say, go ahead, devil, do all that you can with him. He might say, have you considered my servant Job? But he's going to pick somebody that can handle the problem. He's going to pick somebody that can handle the situation. I'm here to tell somebody in this house this morning, there's no excuse why you can't get what you need from God. There's no excuse why you can't stand flat-footed and tell the devil he is a liar. There's no excuse why you can't put the devil under your feet and say, I am a mighty man of God. I am a mighty woman of God. I'm here to tell somebody in this house that whatever you want from him, I promise you, he can abundantly satisfy. You see, the man had been laying there for 38 years. He had never been able again to get in that pool because somebody was always stepping in front of him, getting the miracle. The Bible said that there were blind folks. The Bible said there were sick folk. Some interpretation said there was folks that was depressed. Some said that they was withered. Some said that they had spirits of oppression upon them. Bottom line was is that there was people by the pool that needed something from Jesus Christ. But I've got news for you. In that day, you could not just cry out to Jesus Christ and him hear your cry. Why? Because he had not resurrected himself, but what he was doing was walking among men. They had been waiting for years for the master to pass by their way. They had been longing for the day that Jesus could just come by their way, where they could reach out and maybe touch the hem of his garment or call out his name. But I've got great news in New Life today. No longer do you have to wait on a pool to be troubled before you get your miracle. You don't have to wait on an angel of the Lord to come down and trouble the water for you to get your miracle. You don't have to see Jesus face to face to get your miracle. All you've got to do is say, God, here I am. All you've got to do is call out the name of Jesus Christ. So there's no excuse in this house why we can't get what we need from God. The Bible said that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. I'm here to tell you in this house, there's no excuse why you can't get what you want from God. If you need deliverance, there's no excuse. If you need a miracle, there's no excuse. If you need a healing, there's no excuse. If you need bondage to be broken, there's no excuse. If you need your marriage to be mended, there's no excuse. If you need God to help you in your relationship, there's no excuse. If you need God to help you in your finances, there's no excuse. If you need a broken heart to be put together, there's no excuse. If you need the spirit of oppression and depression to leave your body, mind, and spirit, there's no excuse. If you need a little joy, there's no excuse. If you need God to open up the floodgate of heaven, there's no excuse. All you got to do is get it in your mind that you've been washed, sanctified, justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. All you got to do is get it in your mind that whatever you need him, The Bible said that some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we're going to remember the name of the Lord. I'm not going to put my trust in man because man's going to let you down. I'm not going to put my trust in the economy because the economy will let you down. I'm really not going to put my trust in my family because sometime family will let you down. I'm not going to put all my trust in my workforce because sometime we're just a number at the workforce. But it don't matter what kind of problems. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, no matter what your situation is in life, God will never forsake you. So there's no excuse in this house why you can't get what you need from God. God is never going to leave you in a time of need. God is never going to back away on you in the time of need. Don't let the devil tell you that God's not hearing you. Don't let him tell you that you're weak in your body. Don't let him tell you that you're weak in your spirit. Don't let him tell you that you're a failure and you're never going to be able to make it. Don't let him tell you that you're never going to be blessed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's amazing how the world listens to the enemy when in all actuality he had it made and didn't even realize he had it made. He was already with the king and couldn't handle it. Why? It's because he was more worried about position than he was about the purpose. My pastor told me the other day, he said, God will never sacrifice his purpose for man. He said, but he will sacrifice a man for his purpose. What I'm trying to say in this house here today is God knows exactly where we're at. God knows exactly what we're going through. The Bible said that he gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he's going to increase their strength. He said even the youth, he said they might faint and they might be weary. He said there might be some young men that are going to fall. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord, not them that push God, not them that try to bully God, but them that just get in his presence and say, God, I'm tired of being in the outer court, but I am about to enter into the holies of holies. I am about to enter, God, where you are standing. God, I'm about to enter, and I am going to wait on you to bless me. I am going to wait on you to anoint me. I am going to wait, God, for you to pour your blessing out upon me. So in this house, there's no excuse why we can't get what we need from God. I can't help what the world says. I can't help what the doctor says. I can't help what the lawyer says. I preached in a service not too long ago, and I won't say where, but there's a very bad sickness in that building. And because of this one person being sick, everybody just don't feel they can get their miracle. Because one can't get theirs, and they love this person so much in their mind, what they have done, they just said, why should I be happy if they're not going to be happy? I started thinking about that, and the more I started seeing that, I finally realized your miracle don't hinge on someone else's miracle. Your deliverance don't hinge on somebody else's deliverance. But when you want something, you got to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and you got to say, you know what, God, I don't care come hell or high water. I'm coming to get my miracle. I don't care what's going on in my life. I'm coming to get my deliverance. I don't care what the economy says. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the doctors, the neighbors, the lawyer. I know, God, that you are in control. He said, for thou, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, and yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God is saying there's no excuses, please. He said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that you could ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. There's no reason in this house why we can't get what we want from God. He said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not of them that just lay back and say, I'm not going to do nothing, God, until you bless me. You know what? God gave you promises, but every once in a while you got to pull yourself up and you've got to run to that promise. Every once in a while you got to say, you know what, God, I know you gave me the promise, but I'm going to work to come and receive it. I had a little fellow one time, he said, God promised me I was going to be wealthy, but he wouldn't do nothing. He's just sitting there. I said, you think you heard from God? He said, oh, I know I heard from God. I said, that's good. I said, well, what are you going to do about it? He said, I'm just going to wait on him. He said, the scripture talked about waiting. I said, yeah. I said, but the scripture said a man who don't feed his family is worse than an infidel too. I said, what you got to do is get up. You got to go to work. You got to put them hands to work. God gave you them hands. You got to put them things to work. And I said, and them jewels right there will make you that money and you can be wealthy. He said, no, I'm just going to preach and wait on God. Well, he's still waiting. He's still preaching. He ain't doing too good, but he's still waiting. But then I got other friends that say, you know, the Lord promised me. We got about, I don't know, we got 9 or 10 or 11 in our church in their 40s. They're millionaires. But the God promised them that God was going to open the floodgates of heaven. God promised them one night in a given service in our church. Things begin to happen. They begin to sow seed. I don't know if y'all know about sowing seed, but they started sowing seed. Y'all know what sowing seed is? Okay, I'm just making sure. Sowing seed is when somebody's preaching and something just hits you in the heart. We can hallelujahs. We can run. We can shout, buck, snort, roll, clap, scream. But you bring up money, it gets tight. Whew. See, like when I just said sowing seed, three people said, mm-hmm, yeah. Everybody else said, uh-oh, here, honey, take the wallet, run, put it in the trunk. That way we can say we don't have it on us. I ain't going to take your money. You know, the Lord said you can't serve two masters. That was Jesus and the money. You know, you're going to have to pick out who you're going to serve. See, the Bible said that the love of money is, see, I don't love money, I just like it. And I love what money does for you. But money itself I don't love because I don't care. I ain't got none. I just give it all away. I just keep giving. And the more I give, the more I get. So sowing seed is when something hits you in the heart. You say, man, let me get a little change out of my pocket. Let me get $1, $10, $100, $1,000, $10,000, and just let me throw it on the, let me throw it up here because what I'm doing, I'm about to sow seed in the word. Uh-oh. I'm going to tell you about sowing seed. The other day I had a little girl. We got to, y'all sit down. We're going, now you know what? I done got on something right there. I wasn't even going to talk about that, but now I am. I was in a little church. And we was talking about sowing seed, and the old prophet was talking about sowing seed. So this girl looks at her mom and said, Mama, you got $100? She said, I sure do. She said, could I borrow it? She said, what you going to do with that $100? She said, I'm finna go sow seed. She said, well, that ain't going to do no good. That ain't even your money. She said, okay, well, will you give me $100? Will you give me $100? She said, well, yeah, baby. She said, well, give it here. So she gave it. The girl run up. Threw money on her. Whew, just threw it on the platform. The old prophet said, ma'am, because of your faith, said you got 100-fold blessing coming. Well, I had two woo in our church. At the place we were at, they were like, Well, that girl went all the way back. She's all excited, 100-fold. See, in her mind, she's thinking, Jesus, I gave 100. Now, Jesus, I wouldn't even plan on something coming back, but now he's going to give me 10,000. She's thinking, goodness gracious. She said, what a return. See, if you would have known that, you would have sold 500. Yeah. Amen. See, if you know that, then you'd be like, what a return. I quit work. It's better than gambling. Give 100, get 10 back. My God, this is legalized gambling for the church. My God. Hey. So anyway, that's on Sunday. Well, Monday about noon, the phone rings. It's this woman from Texas. She said, Sharonda? She said, yes. She said, baby, I need to ask you a question. She said, I was in church last night about 9 o'clock. And she said, the Lord just kept on impressing me. She said, now this is going to sound odd. And she said, and it's going to sound like a lot, because she said it is a lot. She said, but God kept on impressing me that you need a vehicle. And she says, well, yeah, I do. And she says, well, I can't buy you a vehicle. And Sharon said, oh, well, sis, I wasn't planning on you buying me one. She said, but I'll tell you what the Lord, she said, the more I thought about the vehicle, I just couldn't feel good about it. Something was wrong, but it was like something was impressing me. Right. She said, so what I'm going to do, she said, I need your account information. She said, I'm going to wire you $10,000. Now you see, now I know what people are thinking. People are thinking, you got 100 I can borrow? I know what people are thinking. I'm not crazy. But you see, what happens is that when you sow seed in the word, not for return, but when you sow seed that God can bless you. See, then what happens is you break the back of the enemy. There ain't a person in this building that don't struggle in your finances. There's not a person in this building that the devil don't mess with your mind. And the reason he messes with your mind and messes with your money is because if he can mess with either one of them, then he can mess with your salvation. He can mess with your family. He can mess with your job. He can mess with your house. But because you see, that's the way. So what you got to do is get it in your mind that, you know what? When I sow, I'm not sowing for return, but I'm sowing to prove to the devil that he's a liar. I'm sowing to prove to the enemy that he has no power and he has no dominion. I could tell you story after story after story after story about people sowing seeds and things beginning to open up. I don't know why God on that. All that was for free. I could tell you about the devourer, how you could rebuke the devourer from yourself. Do you know there's only one way that the devourer, is this okay? Y'all all right? All right. Okay. I'm going to talk. All right. What time we normally get out? Well, it does matter. What time we normally get out? 11:30? We normally get out about 11:30. All right. Hey, we all family here. It's all right. Let me tell you about the devourer. There's three kind of rebukes in the Bible. If you've heard it, just tell me. I'll shut up and won't tell you. There's three kind of rebukes in the Bible. When the angels of the Lord rebuke the devourer, spelled D-E-V-O-U-R. When the people of God rebuke the devourer, spelled D-E-V-O-U-R. And then when God rebukes the devourer, spelled D-E-V-O-U-R-E-R. It's the only place in the Word of God spelt that way. And what he was talking about is that you can pray and you can rebuke and you can believe and you can do all, and you will have some style or some, I guess you would say, relief from the enemy. But when God rebukes the devourer, I'll show you how it works. In the scripture, here's what it says. It's in Malachi 3:7. You've probably heard that before. Can you pull that up for me? 3:7? Oh. Malachi 3:7. And I'll probably go down to about 12 when it's over. That ain't right. Maybe it ain't Malachi. Micah. Is it Micah? That was Micah right there. I need Malachi. You know I can't read. I can spell it out of the Bible. The other day I was getting ready to preach somewhere and the Lord kept dropping this thing on me and I kept looking. I go to the front of the Bible. My wife says, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for the book. I said, it's easier to find it by page number. Yeah, don't laugh. Some of you do the same thing. Look at him. He's got the computer and he had me fitting to read something about something else. I'm about to tell y'all something good. He about to damn us and stuff. You know, we all about to be up in trouble. All right. Even from the days of your father, he said, you've gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. He said, return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return? Next one. He said, will a man rob God? Now let me clear something up. If you're a tithe payer and you give offerings and stuff, okay, you're not a robber. You might not be doing it just right, but you're not a robber. So I don't want anybody to think. I wasn't even going to talk about this. I was going good on that other thing, but it's something just hit me. So let me help. So nobody get offended. Anyway, you don't have a right to get offended. I got a book on that, the bait of Satan. So you don't have a right to get offended. So anyway, will a man rob God? He said, yet you've robbed me, but you say, wherein have you robbed thee? He says, you done robbed me in tithes and offerings. Next one. He said, all right. He said, so you've been cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Next one. He said, but you got to bring all, he said, you got to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me down here with, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open your window of heaven, that will pour out you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough. Now, how many of you would love blessings so much that you couldn't even receive them? They come so much you can't even receive them. See, I don't know if you believe that. Y'all like patty cake. And well, you know. I mean, you almost become the Woo 3 Clap Church there. So there we go. You know the Woo 3 Clap Church, that's when something good said, they go, woo! All right, next one. He said, so you can't receive. Uh-oh, and he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So when he rebukes the devourer for you, here's what's going to happen. He said, and they're not going to be able to destroy the fruits of your ground, meaning everything you got. The enemy ain't going to be able to destroy it. He ain't going to be able to tear it down. He said, neither shall your vine cast her fruits before the time in the field. What it meant was is that ain't nothing going to come premature and ain't nothing going to rot. What that said was is that everything that you have is going to be perfect in his sight. Oh, I didn't say you was going to be perfect, because if you be perfect, we could say we just met Jesus. But everything that you possess could be perfect. Everything that you have could be perfect. So he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He said, and again, cast his time before in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Next. And then he says, in all nations, they're going to call you blessed. All nations, all people, all nationalities, when they see what God has done through you, they're going to say, oh, he's blessed. Oh, she's blessed. But what he said was, he said, if you've paid your tithes and your offerings, your tithes is what keeps you from burning. You are not blessed for paying your tithes. You're just not cursed. Because tithes is what you owe God, not what you give God. And tithes is 10% of what you make, which is gross, not what you bring home. What you bring home after you have them take out your 401k and your profit sharing and your truck note and your insurance and your house, and you make $1,000 a week and you only come home with $256, you don't owe God $25. You owe God $100, because you pay on gross, not on. And offerings is where you receive your blessing. Offerings is where God opens up the windows of heaven to you. Tithing just keeps you from burning. Offerings is where you were blessed. But God said, I want my, what? First fruit. So here what happened. I need 10 people real quick. 10 people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I ain't going to make you preach or nothing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Come on, dude. 7. Come on. 8, 9, 10. You too. Whoever comes. That's 11. That's a little more. Come on, dude. Come on, man. I'm going to just show you. We get paid Thursday or Friday. Can't wait. We call direct deposit at Thursday night at 12:01. We're like, yes, we can go to Walmart. It's there. Praising. And y'all laughing because that's what we do. Because most of us live check to check. Huh? If you're independently wealthy, please see me after service so I can borrow something from you. But so there you go.
So what we do is that we live in a real world, and we all live check to check, and we have church on Sunday, but we get paid on Thursday or Friday or at the 1st or at the 15th. But anyway, we all get paid, all right? But here what we do. We got to go, and we got our check, so we got to pay our mortgage. We got to pay our truck note. I won't even bring that up. We got to pay electricity. Got to pay your cell phone. Oh, God. God forbid you not pay your cell phone bill. You got to buy gas at the beginning because you're hoping that it'll last all week back and forth to work because gas is so high. Got to buy groceries because I'm telling you, we can look around. We all eating. Huh? You know, some people, you know, they got their retirement, a little 401k or their hospitalization life insurance. Got to pay that. And then, my God, you got to pay, your association fee. If you live, you know, it's stupidest things. You got to pay junk you don't even want to pay. Oh, got to buy clothes, tennis shoe blowout, got to go buy shoes, you know, all that. And then all of a sudden, you say, honey, by the way, when we get to church Sunday, be sure and pay our tithes. The problem is that you done paid the world before you paid the king. So what happens is, now if you're not paying them like this, that doesn't mean you're cursed. That just means you didn't know. God don't hold you accountable for things you don't know. This was a personal revelation that come to old Dave Smith. I was cursing myself. It's a personal revelation that came to me. So what happens is 80% of your money is cursed and only 20% is blessed. Come over here. When you get your check, if you go on and give Jesus his little part,
right.
Hallelujah.
Which is a small portion, it's only 10%. That's what the scripture says. Then 90% of your money could be blessed. But you say, well, but I got my check written out. I got it sealed up. I got it ready to go. And when I get there, you know, I've already allotted for it. I'm going to drop it. No. Because he said, if you can let go what's in your hand, I can let go what's in my hand. Because Saturday, a little something could happen. And you could say, honey, did you give that check yet? Well, baby, you know I hadn't. Well, listen, let's just hold off a few days. Because we really need to do this, and we'll just do them on Wednesday. Or we'll catch up. Is that you, God? God just called on the cell phone. So there you go. Now, I know we're supposed to be preaching Holy Ghost and all that, but this just hit me. Is this all right?
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. So what happens is if you don't pay him first, all the rest of that, you'll never make ends meet. You'll always be short. It'll always happen. But you say, well, you don't know my bills. Well, you don't know my God. If you try him, I promise you, he'll give little provisions. He'll do things. He'll make a way like no one else can make a way. Thank you, gentlemen. That's the devout. So Jesus said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. All right. So that was a little teaching here today. So if you hadn't been doing it like that, start doing it. And watch blessings begin to come beyond measure. If you hadn't been doing it, that doesn't mean that you've been cursed. That doesn't mean that something's wrong with you. I'm not the pastor, but I will tell you this. When you don't know, it's like my little kid. Don't touch that stove. Don't touch that stove. It's hot. Don't touch the stove. I'm telling you, it's hot. Now I tell her, that's hot. It ain't even got to look like a stove. She's like, because now it is a revelation of the word hot. It means that's going to hurt. So now, you might have not been doing whatever. But from today on, start doing it right. and then watch the blessings unfold. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Now, here's what we're going to do. In a few minutes, we're going to come to the front as a family. In a few minutes, we're all going to come and we're going to pray and talk to God. We're going to ask God to bless us, and we're going to ask God. You know, a lot of people say, well, my God, Smith, you done taught that. You ought to give people an opportunity to sow seed. We got tonight. It'll be fun. If you want to sow, that's between you and God, but we're all right. I told you I wasn't trying to do nothing to you. It wouldn't be for me anyway. It'd be for the church. But in a few minutes, we're going to let everybody come to the front. There's no excuse in this house here tonight or today why we can't get what we need from God. So in a few minutes, we'll all come to the front, and we're just going to talk to him. Nobody's going to pull on anyone. No one's going to shake on anyone. But in a few minutes, we'll just come and talk to Jesus Christ. Nobody in here is perfect. Nobody in here has it all together. We all established earlier that we all need Jesus to do great things in our life. So again, nobody will call us out. Nobody will embarrass us. But in a few minutes, we'll come to the front as a family. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask everyone to bow their head and close their eyes. I've been here enough, but some people say, well, why do we do that? Well, the first reason is I want you to be real with yourself. The second reason I ask people to bow their head and close their eyes is because we live in a real nosy world. You raise your hand, your neighbor says, what'd you do? And then we tell them, and they act all concerned. And then as soon as it's over, they get outside on the phone and say, guess what so-and-so just did? How do you know that? They told me right there in the altar. Right there at church, they told me. Don't tell your neighbor what you've done, because your neighbor can't forgive you. Only Jesus Christ can. All right? Third reason I ask people to bow their head and close their eyes is because I don't want anybody to say, well, I went to New Life today and I'm leaving the same way that I came. I want all of us to leave here different. I want God to touch all of us today. So nobody will call you out. No one will embarrass you. But in a few minutes, we'll come to the front as a family. Is that fair enough?
Yes.
All right. Bow your head and close your eyes. Anybody in this house here today, you've got pain in your body right now. Would you lift your hand? You've got pain in your body. Hands across the building. Hands across the building. Hands across the building. You can put them down. And before you leave, you would like God to take that pain away. Would you lift your hand? You'd like him just to take it away. Hands all across the building. That's beautiful. You can put them down. Before you lift your hand, listen to me. Every time you take a step forward, the enemy, the liar, the deceiver, Lucifer by name, pushes you two steps back. For some, it might be your marriage. For some, it might be your relationship. For some, it might be your finances. For some, it might be your workforce. For some, it might be your ministry. And every time you try to do something for the kingdom of God, it seems like the enemy comes in like a flood. And you're in this house here this morning and you say, you know what, there's no excuse while I can't get what I need from God. And you're in this house here today and you will be honest with yourself and you will say, I absolutely need God to do something for me. Would you lift your hand? Hands all across this building. That's beautiful. You can put them down. Anybody in this house here today, before you lift your hand, just listen. You've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Let me explain what that is. It is a gift that comes from God. No one can give it to you. No one can pour it onto you. But it is a true gift that comes only from Jesus Christ. And here's how it works. It's as you begin to praise and thank God, you begin to hear a language come to you. It's not a language that you speak, but it's a heavenly language. And as you begin to praise and thank God, as God empowers you with his Spirit, you begin to speak a heavenly language just like they did in the book of Acts on. It was called receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you've never spoke that heavenly language, that doesn't mean something's wrong with you. That just means it's a gift from God that you haven't received yet, but you will. And you're in this house, and as far as you know, you've never spoke that heavenly language. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry, because every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Would you just lift your hand if you've never spoke that? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's beautiful. You can put them down. Anybody in this house here today, you've had the gift of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost before, but you need a renewing in that gift. Would you lift your hand? I see hands. I see hands. I see hands. Thank you. Thank you. I see hands. Thank you. You can put them down. You can lift your head and open your eyes. Man, today about 70% of the church lifted their hands. That lets me know that God's found favor, that everything is well, that nothing's wrong. So when God finds favor, then he always does great and mighty things. If the whole house would stand, if our altar ministry would come and line up across the front, you know who you are. I know we got staff in the back and stuff, but I know we have some in here. Our altar ministers, you know who you are. I just want you to face the crowd. Turn around and face the crowd. You're an altar minister in this church. You know who you are. I want you to come and face the crowd. I need some, I don't remember. Do we stand here? I need a few ladies of faith. Can y'all just kind of come on? Come on, Mama. Now, many folks lifted their hands. You might be next to a friend, a family member, a co-worker. You might be next to a guest. You might be next to someone you've never met before. Many people lifted their hands for many situations. I love to see signs and wonders and miracles, but the greatest miracle of all is salvation. The greatest miracle of all is someone receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we're all going to come, but we all, 70% of the church can't get right here in the front. So if you lifted your hand for a renewing, or you lifted your hand that you had never received the gift of the Holy Spirit before, I'm asking you to begin to make your way first. You wanted a renewing, or you wanted to receive it for the very first time. Here they come. Here they come. You wanted a renewing, or you wanted to receive it for the very first time. You wanted a renewing. Here they come. There was many hands lifted, so... come on. Now you lifted your hand for other situations. We're not going to start praying yet. We're not going to start praying for folks yet. We're just going to get everybody down here. Now you lifted your hand for a different situation. I want you to come in behind them. I want you to come in behind them. And here they come. Folks, you know who needs the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know who needs a renewing. Altar ministry, I want you to be very aware of that. I want you to pray for every person that would love to receive that gift first, and then we're going to pray for other folks. But God's going to do great and mighty things in this house here today. All right? They're still coming. Still coming. Can y'all just come on out of the aisle? Just come on down. It don't matter what side. Just come on down. Y'all want to take a step forward, Mom? Come on up, son. Y'all take a step. People in behind you. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to just get into a big, long thing, but we're all going to repent. After we repent, we're going to begin to lay hands, and God's going to begin to do great and mighty things. For the ones that need the Holy Ghost, listen to me. All you're going to do is hear a language come in your mind. It's not a language that you speak, but as you hear that language come in your mind, all you've got to do is just begin to speak it out, and you will be receiving it. Okay? For the ones that need things done in your life, I believe in loosing and binding. You need to loose your situation and bind it in the pits of hell, and then give God high praise, and he's going to do it. So let's repent together. Are you ready? Say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I'm sorry, Lord, for everything that I've thought, that I've said, that I've done, that I've heard. Forgive me, Lord, of things I don't even realize I have done. I give myself 100% to you. Thank you, Lord, for my miracle. Thank you, Lord, for my deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for filling me with the gift of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I want you to lift your hands right now. I want you to begin to pray all across this building. God, every situation, everything right now. God, I pray, God, that you believe right now that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. God, I'm asking you right now to touch them. Begin to lay hands up on them right now. Begin to lay hands right now as they begin to receive the gift of the Spirit right now. Let God, let it happen right now. Let it happen right now. Lord, right now, God, let it happen. God, as they hear, feel it, there it is right there, God. For your power, your presence, your anointing right now. In the name of Jesus, God, touch my brother, Lord. Touch my brother, God. Touch my brother, Lord. Touch my brother right now, God. Touch my sister, Lord, right now. God, I believe that you're putting your hand up on his life right now. God, I believe right now, God. Let the Spirit, God, let the Spirit flow upon them right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As they begin to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, they begin to receive that gift, that they begin to speak that heavenly language, let us know right now. Let God move through them right now. When you pray with someone and they receive that gift, find somebody else. Here it comes right now. God's doing great things in here. God's doing great things. God, I believe that you're doing it right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of the Holy Ghost.
How he filled me with the Holy Ghost. How he healed me to the utmost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around. How he placed my feet on solid ground. And makes me want to shout.
God's doing great things. God's doing great things. Come on. God's doing great things. Just keep praying. Keep praising him. Keep praising him.
He picked me up and turned me around. How he played.
There's another one right there receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's another one right there just received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I praise you, God. I praise you, God. Hallelujah.